All right, this particular study is a study that is on New Testament characters. And last week, Brother Raphael did the class on the work of John the Baptizer, introducing that with... Today we're going to be talking about John, of course, was a forerunner to Christ. And so it's natural that we would follow up our study from John the Baptizer to Jesus. And how did the parents of John the Baptizer were who? Elizabeth and Zechariah, right? Okay. I just heard one, and so I knew he had two. So, all right. And so they were described by what characteristic in Scripture? Righteous. How was that defined in the context of Zechariah and Elizabeth? What was the definition to righteous in that context? Okay, there's an example of Zechariah's service in the temple, and all of Israel, that is the priest and the Levites praying. Luke 1 and verse number 6, right? Okay, that's what I was looking for, the God's definition of righteousness with regards to them. That plays a part in story today of Mary and Joseph as well. And so this is very important in the continuing history of the scheme of redemption. We're going to look at several things today. All right, I thought a good way for us to get started here would be to... ask some questions and maybe go through and answer a few questions, and that would get our minds started. But before we do that, I want to give you an assignment. The assignment for this week, and of course we'll be studying this lesson both today and Wednesday night. We'll have a follow-up lesson dealing with Joseph and Mary. And so your assignment is to read Luke chapters 1 and 2 and Matthew chapters 1 and 2. Luke chapters 1 and 2 and Matthew chapters 1 and 2. That will, if you've not already done that in preparation for this class, that will certainly prepare you for our class on Wednesday night. And so here we have just a few questions that I thought would be interesting for us to look at and to answer in regards to our preparation. How did Mary respond to this new information that was given to her by the angel Gabriel at this particular time? How did she respond to this information? First of all, maybe I should ask, do you remember what the information was? Right? Okay, she is going to be overshadowed. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and she's going to be overshadowed. That which is conceived of her, in her, is conceived of the Father. And so how did she respond to that news? I'm sorry? She was troubled, wasn't she? Maybe shock would be a good word in relationship to that. She wanted to know how this could be. She had never known a man, and so she wanted to know how this could be. Look with me at Luke chapter 1. And Luke chapter 1 and verse number 31 says, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And down in verse number, let's back up to verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So how much older then would have John the Baptist been of his cousin Jesus? 6 months, right? There at that point. So the angel Gabriel then responds in verse number 37 with a very powerful statement. It's a statement that's taken right out of several Old Testament passages. Jeremiah mentions this in his prayer. But here he forms it, there it's formed in a question, is there anything too hard for God? That's the prayer of Jeremiah, and that's the answer that Jeremiah gets when he's going through all this difficulty. And the same is the answer to Mary, as Gabriel says, for with God nothing is impossible. What you and I would consider that which is impossible, God does not consider impossible. With men, to destroy the world with a flood would be impossible. Well, we might even back up from there, right? With men, to create a universe is impossible. To destroy the earth with a flood, we would see as impossible. Outside of the activity of God, these things could not occur. To have God dwell in human flesh, to have a virgin conceive and bring forth a child without ever knowing the aid of a man, we would see as impossible, right? There's no way. There has to be that seed process in order to bring about a child. And yet, in this particular case, God accomplishes that, and Gabriel says that this is not something that is impossible with God. This is possible. This is something that God can accomplish. So think about Mary now. I don't know what the normal response of a young lady about to get married in Jerusalem in the first century would have been. I know what a lot of modern young ladies go through. At least I've seen it 30 some odd years ago, and I see it occasionally with young ladies today. You think that if there is a betrothal and she is about to get married, that there are probably some plans that are taking place in Mary's life? Yay, nay, you know, this is yes, this is no. Yes. It was a much stronger tie than we think of today in the proposal. What is that stage called when the man proposes to the engagement? That's what I'm looking for. The engagement, right? Those things go on and off quite often in our society. That was not really the case back then. It was a much stronger tie, and so oftentimes the concept of a separation is spoken of in these cases because of how close and how important this betrothal was. So she's making a lot of plans, isn't she? What kind of plans does a young lady make in relationship to getting married? Yeah, I can't speak necessarily. I know that we have some historical things that she would have been doing. Yes, but she's making plans, and there are certain things that are similar in nature. Okay, she's preparing to leave and cleave, right? He's preparing to leave and cleave as well. And there's going to be this new household that takes place at this particular time. And so there are a lot of plans. I don't care if you're living in a mud hut or a mansion up on the hill. There are certain plans that are equal. In other words, there are certain things that are equivalent. You still got to have some place to take care of the daily chores and the daily items that take place. She's making plans that did not include being with child. You see, I suppose then that her plans made quite an alteration, right? In fact, nobody else other than her at this particular moment knows what's going on, right? To our knowledge, no one in Israel, no one in her family knows what is going on, but sooner or later that's going to come out, right? You can only hide that for so long, right? But now it comes to the ears of Joseph, and so she has to make some changes in her plans. Here's a question that I would have as we study our New Testament characters. How are we going to make application then to our own lives? Maybe this would be a good pause and a good question for us. When our scheduled plans don't go our way, how do we respond to them? Or maybe I should put it more generically so people feel more comfortable in their answers. How do people generally, or how do people respond to a change in plans? This is not just, oh, well, we're not going to eat at Chili's today. We're going to eat at wherever, you know, Red Lobster. It's not that kind of change in plans. This is a big change in plans in the life of Mary at this particular time. There are a lot of consequences to the information that she has received, that she is going to be that virgin that is inspired a prophecy of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, you see. She is the one of the seed of, or through the seed, through which the seed of Genesis 3:15 would take place. The seed of Abraham, the seed of woman, that all combines right here with reference to Mary and her change in plans. So how do people respond to that today? There you go. See, that was quite, you probably didn't plan on that, did you?
No.
Okay, so very good, yes. Okay, there you go. In today's world, in today's society, and in fact, other than the fact that she is a righteous woman and very blessed of God, and the fact that women of that first century of a Jewish persuasion are waiting for the Messiah, but in today's world, we would say, well, I'm out of a wedlock. I've got a child. What do I do with this? I mean, I can have it aborted, and I can take care of it that way. And I can take care of it early enough and private enough that nobody will ever know, right? That is the way some people would react. What about other kinds of information that you received that changed your plans and how people respond? Plans change, don't they? Plans change. And so you can react in anger. You can react in self-pity. You can react in blaming everybody in the world for your situation, right? Is that, I mean, whether or not you participated in any of those, you've seen it, right? I'm like, come on, somebody, at least shake your head. You've at least seen what I'm talking about, right? Okay, I thought maybe I was still in Arizona. All right. So Mary had a a response that said, I'm shocked. I don't understand how this could be. But then when the angel Gabriel explained it to her, well, I mean, what else can you do? God has chosen you, and she is blessed to be chosen for that particular role and responsibility. And she takes it on, and this is what I love about Mary and Joseph. Whatever the change in their life, they take it on with grace, and they take it on by prayer. They take it on by following the commandments of God. They take it on. To me, this is a wonderful couple, and that sometimes gets skewed because of false doctrines about Mary and because of very little discussion about Joseph and his involvement in this. Yes, ma'am. By the way, how did Sarah respond to it? She laughed, right? In other words, it was ridiculous to her, right? I think that's the ideal of that laugh. This is ridiculous. I'm too old to have a child. Now, you mentioned Moses. Moses responded with four questions back to God, and to the point that God got angry with Moses. You mentioned Gideon. Moses' response was, "I'm not really eloquent. There are four responses that he has, but God gets angry with him. But with Gideon, it's I'm not really very. I didn't come from a good family. I didn't come from a very wealthy or influential family, and so." So he asked for a clarification of that, right? Some verification of that as well. And he gets the verification, and he does what God, Moses does what God wants him to do. Gideon does. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah said, "Well, I'm too young for the job. I'm too young. I'm not old enough for the job yet." And God assured him that, and this is, I think, an important element, that now these are miraculous calls. We understand that. We're not applying that to me understanding a call today from God. That's not what we're saying. But things do change in our lives, and how we respond to them is how God calculates our righteousness or our unrighteousness, you see. Jeremiah, too young. Gideon, not a socialite. And then here's Mary. What excuse could she give? Well, the only one she knew is, "I've never known a man. This can't happen," right? So when it's explained to her, how does she respond after that? She obeys. The grace of Mary, the righteousness of Mary revolving around that. So how did Joseph, what was the information that Joseph receives here? Through all natural means, she would have been what? An adulterer, right? And as an adulterer, the law was very specific that she could be put to death. So he could put her to death, put her away publicly, which wouldn't involve death, or put her away privately. Now, the Bible says that Joseph decided to put her away privately, right? Now, let me ask you this, and I thought this was an important question. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Let's begin in verse number 18. Somebody want to read 18 through 20 for me? Okay, now there's further information in regards to the prophecy of Isaiah 7, 14 in the next few verses, also the ideal of the definition of Emmanuel and Jesus and things such as that. But how did Joseph respond? Isn't that interesting? You know what you don't find with Joseph? You don't find a single question. Not any time. when Herod is about to kill the babies and he's told to go down into Egypt, when Herod dies and he's heading back, but he receives instruction to go to another place, there's not a single question that Joseph asks in this whole ordeal. He simply gets up and does what the commandment is. Yes, sir. Well, yes, he did, because think about this. If they're together, if the assumption is then that he's going to take her in and not put her away, then it's possible then, would it not be, for the community to say, well, Joseph, this must be your child, right? Not only that, but that would imply adultery, or fornication at least, and yes. And he thought about those things. So what does a righteous or a just man do while he's thinking on these things? Sorry? He's praying. All right. He's meditating on Scripture, maybe, in regards to what he... See, they're both filled with an anticipation at this time of the Messiah coming in. They know the time frame. It's not as if they're ignorant of God's plans here, because God has revealed it, and there's a great anticipation going on at this time. And so the possibility of that occurring is not beyond, but he's still thinking about this. And so very, very good point. He's not acting hastily in regards to this. Remember the definition of righteous with regards to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Notice that Joseph is referred to as a, King James says, just. It's the same. It's righteous. He's a just man. And so what does it mean that Joseph is a just man? I'm sorry? Okay, he wants to do the right thing. And the right thing in this case... Okay, he's going to do what is right according to God's will, right? That's what he's going to do. And so he's contemplating on these things. His thought is to put her away privately, right? But then the angel, confirmation of Mary's words to him. I have no doubt that there was a conversation between the two, because he can't think on it if he don't know about it, right? So there has to be some kind of conversation going on where Joseph gets information about Mary's condition. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. No, that's a good point. And I would write out to the side here, I would write out Luke chapter 1 and verse number 6 and the explanation of that with regards to Zechariah and Elizabeth. And so his response is pretty methodical then, isn't it? I'm going to think about this. How often, let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten information that shocked you where you responded, or maybe not you, but you've seen it, okay? Where you responded incorrectly, unscriptural, out of bounds with God, and then when you thought about it later, you said to yourself, that was the dumbest response I've ever had in my life. Anybody? Just one. Oh, two. Okay. Rick raising his hand. He's saying, I've done it 3 or 4 times. No. Yes, sir. Go ahead. by the way, if we're really honest with how we have responded to things, more than likely we have done this at least once in our life, right? We have responded to something that was even out of character for us. But the can you imagine the information, right? Joseph gets information, and let's say that it is from Mary, and that conversation goes on. Can you imagine a young man receiving that information? He has not slept with her. So unless he believes Mary's story, what must he believe? She's been with another man. That's exactly right. She has betrothed herself. We are to be married. We are to spend our lives together, and she has been with another man. Now, let me ask you this. If Joseph is thinking about putting her away privately, what conclusion thus far has he drawn? Y'all going to have to speak up. I am really old, evidently, and hard of hearing. You really think so? Okay. I've asked you to engage in what you thought about the situation, right? And my thoughts are he probably did not believe her, but he had a strong relationship with her, and the justice did not want to put her away. That's my thoughts on that. Scripture doesn't tell us those thoughts, though, do they? But isn't it interesting that he is going to put her... Now, by the way, if he believes her, my question would be, why would he not stay with her? Maybe he didn't want the responsibility. But he seems to accept it after the angel, right? So confirmation, I think, is what the angel delivers to Joseph, which demonstrates that he has a great response. Let me ask you this question in regards to Mary and Joseph. What do you think of their character in general? Okay, they were both righteous. And that speaks volumes of their character, right? What else speaks volumes of their character? Okay. She didn't refuse the responsibility. Joseph did not refuse the responsibility, did they? What else? Okay. By the way, that would bring you together, would it not? What else? I think humility would be a good word there, wouldn't it? Kindness is sometimes used as a synonym with regards to that. So a humility, a willingness to acquiesce to the will of God, no matter what that will is. Yes, ma'am. So maybe the verification for him is his role is important. And God is saying through Gabriel that you have a role and responsibility, and that role and responsibility, what in today's terms we would refer to Joseph as what? Okay, stepfather, foster father, something in. Well, but now listen, you bring up something that the question was designed to deal with on a maybe a more simplistic level than what y'all are thinking. I'm thinking very simply here. There's something about Mary and Joseph here that their character that screams out of this text. Okay, Matthew 1 and 24 says, Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Okay, well that shows us the great response that Joseph had, right? So let me ask you this question in a different way. Raphael, let me ask you, Nancy. You got two beautiful boys, right? Right? Okay, you can shake your head, yes, okay. Raphael, you're in this question too. What? Oh, okay. I thought maybe you was revealing something, because when she looked at you, I was like, okay, so there's no revelation here, okay? Just, sorry. Just three, Raphael's included, okay. Sorry. Misinterpretation of information can happen, okay? y'all need to go somewhere. So you pick up the phone book. Well, I guess that'd be a phone now, right? And you go through, and in San Angelo, you just kind of start with the A's. And there's somebody named Abbott, Ron and Sue Abbott, and you pick up the phone and you call them and say, listen, Nancy and I need to go out of town. I know that you don't know us. I know that we've never met, but we have two boys that we want to put into your possession for a week. Would you be willing to do that? Is that how y'all do it? No? No. Why not? Why don't you just call up random people? Have you ever thought about God's decision to choose Mary and Joseph? Who are you going to put your children in charge of your children? And in fact, it's not just for a week. This is them bringing him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is it, setting him on the path that he's going to take so that he can become the, he is the Son of God, but become do the work that the Son of God was called to do. There is training that is involved in that. There is care and direction that is involved in that. Are you going to give your child to just anybody? So do you think, see, to me, this speaks volumes of the character of Joseph and Mary. Because God chose them. Out of all of the people of the world, He chose these two to raise His son. Well, I would say that she was the kind of person that would stick out as far as her righteousness is concerned. And I think Joseph demonstrates that he is of the same character as Mary, and thus God chose them in this regards. So, yes. Well, and think about this. If they did not believe Jesus when He was performing the miracles and doing the work of the Messiah, and they didn't believe Him then, certainly they did not believe Mary and Joseph at that particular time, right? Well, now that is true too. I know in modern day America that we would certainly... We have a difficulty of anyone's righteousness, and we love to see the righteous fall. I think in modern day America that's certainly true, and so that means that we have to be that kind of person. We cannot give the enemy reason to blaspheme God, as many of the Jews had done in the first century, according to Romans chapter 2. You see, because of their hypocrisy, Paul says that the Gentiles blasphemed God. Well, they certainly couldn't hear in regards to the righteousness of Mary. She could, number one, maintain her own righteousness in the sense that she was doing what God said. Number two, she also had the ability to appeal to Scripture. Did she not? You say that you believe the prophet Isaiah, yet when it stands before you, you deny him. You see, she has a very powerful argument in Isaiah. So let me ask you this in relationship to this whole how Mary and Joseph responds, and then Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem. All of their plans are changing. It's almost as if they're certainly not in control of their own life. And not just from God's perspective here, but also now the government's perspective. You got to go to Bethlehem. You remember why they're going? Taxation, right? Yeah, taxation. And so now the government's involved in the hardship that they have. So let me ask you this in regards to these things. How could the direction from God's Word change my attitude about other people controlling the direction of my life? How did it change Mary and Joseph? They didn't have plans on going to Bethlehem. Not during that time. She's heavy with child. She's going to give birth in Bethlehem, right? She's heavy with child. So they didn't have plans to travel there. The government forced them to do so. Joseph didn't have plans to have a wife who had a child before marriage. Mary didn't have that plans. All of these things are changing. So the question then is, by the way, in every one of these cases, right, the one thing that changed them was instruction from God. So why wouldn't instruction from God change what I do? Why wouldn't instruction from God change the way I respond, the way I react to things? Why wouldn't that change me? If it had the ability to change them, why can't it change me? And in fact, why shouldn't it? Oh, there's the bell. He's already back. All right. Well, y'all are dismissed with prejudice.